Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text is from John chapter 14, verse 26. But when the Holy Spirit comes, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is our text. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, today is Pentecost Sunday, and that is a wonderful thing because today is the day we celebrate the Holy Spirit of God coming down from heaven and finally enlightening the darkness of our minds and our hearts. Finally, we celebrate the Holy Spirit giving us true faith in Jesus Christ, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and that everyone who believes in his name will have forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation. Praise the Lord. That is so wonderful. Because of this, the church, the Holy Christian Church on earth, finally has a shelter. It finally has a community. The Holy Christian Church's shelter is anywhere that the good news of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. And the community of the church, you all, is with all Christians everywhere of all time and place, either here on earth or in that mystic sweet communion that we sang about in one of our hymns just now this morning, The Church is One Foundation. I love that hymn. Having community, having shelter, these are wonderful gifts from God. God wants us to be in community. In fact, God made special emphasis on this when he created Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone." And yet, unfortunately, because of our sinful flesh, we, sinful humanity, will take God's good gifts and pollute them or make idols out of them. And so God gives us food and we turn it into a dangerous means of self-indulgence. God gives us fitness and it becomes a bottomless pit of endless self-loathing and coveting. So also, God gives us community. And what did the people in our Old Testament reading, Genesis chapter 11, the story of the Tower of Babel, what did they do with that community? They valued community and having a name for themselves so much that they tried to build up themselves rather than following the Lord's command to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, spread out. They were so insistent on this. They were so insistent on building up their own name, their own reputation, their own glory, apart from the Lord God who made them. This is in complete contrast to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 12, where Abram is told by God that God will make his name great. Now, it's not a sin necessarily to work very hard for a good reputation. There's nothing wrong with that. Word gets around when you find a good mechanic, when you find a delicious restaurant, or maybe a good neighbor. I don't know if you're thinking the State Farm theme song in your head or not. That's between you and the Lord. But word will get around. And in fact, we, as I was talking about in the children's message, we actually pray for a good reputation. When we pray the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. If you look in the small catechism, under the question, what is meant by daily bread, you find that daily bread is everything that has to do with the needs of the body, such as clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, land, animals, money, goods, devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. So like everything else on that list that we pray for, good reputation is a gift from God. And that is wonderful. But when we seek to build up our own reputation apart from God, in the end, all of those efforts will fail. Because at the end of the world, only one name is going to matter. And that is the name of Jesus, as we read about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The people in Genesis 11 tried to build up their own glory, and God confused their languages and scattered them over the whole earth for their sin. But because of the sin of rejecting Jesus, a much worse fate awaits for those who do that. People may go their entire lives living in their own glory, building up their own names, rejecting Jesus, living in wickedness up until their dying breath. And we may see nothing happen to them. But on Judgment Day, when Jesus raises us from the dead and stands us up before his mighty judgment throne, then we will find that all of those who tried to stand in the glory of their own name have fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, the Bible tells us that all who reject Jesus, who die in impenitence, they will be scattered not just around the earth, but into a lake of fire, into endless burning, torment, and tear-inducing, teeth-gnashing sadness and misery forever. That is a terrifying fate. And that is why the Apostle Peter's news in his Pentecost preaching is so wonderful when he says in Acts chapter 2 that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, you may be thinking, Chaplain, that is very easy for you to say, but I'm not like those people that Peter was talking to. I have different problems than they do. I can't just say the name of Jesus and all of my problems disappear. Maybe so. You may have some unique problems today, perhaps related to pharmaceuticals or technology that they did not have back in the day of Peter. But outside of those, honestly, you want just as much food and drink, clothing and shoes, house and home, etc., as those people did. You're wondering whether your job will hold out until retirement. You're wondering if and when you are going to be able to retire. You're wondering if your health will hold out so that you will not be burdens to your next of kin. You're wondering how long you have on this earth in the face of a new diagnosis. Solomon said 3,000 years ago in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, that there is nothing new under the sun. The fact is, you have a lot more in common with the Pentecost crowd than you realize. For we live in a world where the second law of thermodynamics is that everything tends toward disorder, chaos. It's a scientific fact. It is a fact that we live over ground that no longer just gives us life and food and drink and bounty as it was originally created to do. We live over ground that will open its mouth and swallow us whole when we die and devour our corpses. Or perhaps it will open its mouth and receive our blood if we die by violence or accident before old age or disease take us. And when you die, the ground that you occupy now will remember your name no better than you remember what you had for lunch the Sunday before Father's Day 2024. This is not good news. And this is why the day of Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. Because with the Holy Spirit, faith has been poured into your heart. With the Holy Spirit, you have been called, gathered, and enlightened in this holy Christian church, in which God daily and richly forgives your sins and the sins of all believers. It is the Holy Spirit who breathed out the words of the prophets and apostles through their pens. It is the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised would come in John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have taught to you. It is the Holy Spirit who gave faith to the crowd when Peter was preaching at Pentecost. It is the Holy Spirit that gave birth to the Holy Christian Church that day. It's the Holy Spirit that helped that early Christian church to fight off those early Christian Gnostic heresies, which taught that this world is an abomination and should never have been created in the first place. It was the Holy Spirit who led Martin Luther through his reading of Scripture as an Augustinian monk, especially as he read and taught Romans and Galatians. Finally, he learned and realized the errors of the Catholic Church that they had been teaching for hundreds of years, and he rejected them and founded the Lutheran Church. It was the Holy Spirit who led the German immigrants in the 1800s to flee Prussia because the government was meddling in their churches, meddling in their sacraments, forcing them to commune with non-Lutherans. And those German immigrants fled to America and set about creating a Lutheran presence in Missouri and across the country. It was the Holy Spirit who came into your hearts at the moment of your baptism and joined you to the one holy Christian church on earth, and joined you perhaps to this church. Perhaps this is the very church in which you were baptized. It is the Holy Spirit who has been poured into your hearts and regularly refreshes your faith through the gift of word and sacrament, through the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is why we sang our sermon hymn from Lutheran Service Book 497, Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord. Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord, with all your graces now outpoured on each believer's mind and heart, your fervent love to them impart. Lord, by the brightness of your light, your holy church on earth unite in every land and every tongue. To your praise, O Lord our God, be sung. Alleluia, alleluia. You do not need to worry today about the future, whether the Lord will allow you to stay in one place, continue to grow a reputation here for another generation or two, or perhaps the Lord will call you to serve somewhere else. The Lord calls you only to serve in this place, this ground that God has given you for now, and to treat it as a wonderful gift, and to treat your fellow Christians as though you were serving God Himself and not just people, to treat each other as though you were giving service to the face of Jesus Christ. For this is what Jesus says will happen. He will return. He says this in Matthew 25, verse 40, and He will say, "When I was hungry, you fed me. Whatsoever you did to the least of these, my brothers, you did for me." And as you live this life in the Spirit, Jesus, in our gospel reading from John chapter 14, verse 27, promises you, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so, dear Christians, in closing, remember the words of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Amen.